Okay, class, please return to your seat, okay? We are going to start our lesson. Okay, forget about the test. Right, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. We are going to continue with our study on 1 John, yeah? Please turn to 1 John chapter 3. Okay. I think we have covered verse 1 to verse 9. Now we move on verse 10 onwards, yeah? Now, here, John actually draws a very clear distinction between the children of God and the children of devil, right? Now, again, we understand that the distinction here is drawn between, groups within the community of God, all right? Now, he is not making a distinction between the church as a whole, yeah, and the world at large. Okay, now here, now John mentioned it very clearly. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Okay, meaning he is talking to those who have known the truth and those who have been baptized into Christ, and those who have been taught the word of God. And should they choose, to practice unrighteousness, then obviously they are the what? They are the children of Satan. Okay? Now, class, that's why we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful because sometimes we might think that, we are the children of God because many of us were born into the church and have been, in the church for so long, and we, join all kind of fellowship in the church. But you find that the children of God must what? Must practice righteousness. So if we fail to practice righteousness, then very possibly we might become the children of the wicked one, right? So the distinction is very clear. Now, the other point mentioned by Elder John is lovelessness, okay? So if you do not love your brothers or your sisters, then obviously, we fall under these categories. That is, we are the children of the devil. Now, like what I said before, the main reason for John to write to the believers is because, of the ideas of what? Of denying Christ has come in the flesh. That's the main reason. That's the purpose of it's the purpose of the book of 1 John. Now you can imagine when there are two camps coexist in the church, obviously a lot of friction, misunderstanding would be generated. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, if you yourself truly belongs to God, then you must always love those who have gone astray. Okay? You need to pray for them, you need to remind them. If possible, you need to expose them. Okay, so to hope that these people might turn back to the Lord. Now, you understand. Can I have the whiteboard, please, brother? Thank you. No, it's okay. Thank you. Okay, now, you find that to help someone, even to save someone, sometimes you might not receive, you know, how do I put it? You may not be appreciated for what you are doing or for what you have done, right? Instead, you find that you might, you know, invite like attacks from others, okay, because of your good deeds. And I think this is very common in the scriptures anyway. Okay, now, so, you know, in that situation, obviously, right, we need to continue to love. You know, when, you know, the natural instinct is that if a person is constantly under what pressure or is being attacked, obviously he would retaliate. Is that not true? Right? Now, how can a person stay calm all the time, being provoked all the time, and yet remain calm? Okay? That's why the Bible says, yeah, the Bible says, we need to what? We need to love. Okay? Is there a problem somewhere? No? Okay. I want to read 2 Timothy. We read chapter 2. We read from verse 24 to verse 26. Yeah? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 to 26. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, verse 25, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth. Verse 26. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Now our focus is on verse 24, right? And the first part of verse 25. Now here it talks about the quality of a servant of the Lord. First, a servant of God must not be quarrelsome, right? And must be gentle to all, able to teach, and must be very patient. Okay, so if you want to save someone, like if you want to help your parents who have not been coming to the church, or if you want to help your sibling who have not been coming to the church, right, then you need to exercise what? Patience, self-control, you know, gentleness, you name it. And all the qualities, yeah? Yeah. Must be put into good use in your work for God, in saving someone. You understand what I'm saying, right? Now, you find that sometimes if we are not careful, yeah, because we are so much provoked, you know, this anger, this one, hatred can even be developed, right? And if that happens, then you find that, you know, we can become the children of Satan, right? Because that is not acceptable in the eyes of God. Okay, now we turn back to chapter 3. Here, an example is given, yeah? Example of Cain and Abel. Do you know which chapter in Genesis talks about this story? Eh? Chapter 4. Okay, now look at this, yeah? Here it says, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, I want you to look at this, yeah? You know, this is like a process, okay? Okay, now, said here it first mentioned what? He commit murder, yeah? Right, put it this way, move upward, yeah? Now,
Why did he do that? Because obviously, the Bible say what? He was of the what? Wicked one. Right? Now, you find that John is very clear about this. John is very clear about this. The murder committed by Cain is driven by the wicked one, isn't it? Right? But Genesis actually does not talk about that. Okay? Now, Cain was of the wicked one. He was of the wicked one. He was of Satan. And obviously, yeah, the motivation for him to kill someone obviously originated from the wicked one. Now, the question is, how on earth did this wicked one, yeah, get access into Cain? Now, if you read on, because of his works, right, works. Okay? Now, this works here can refer to his deeds and behavior. Alright, I want you to read Genesis, yeah?
Chapter 4. We turn to Genesis chapter 4. You know that God actually spoke to him after his what offering was rejected by God, yeah? Now, I want you to read chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? Now, verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And what? And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Okay. Now, because judging from Genesis and the account given in 1 John, it's quite clear that his deeds had not been good, okay? And that actually left what? Room for this one to come into work. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, as a result, he committed what? Murder. Sorry. Okay. Can you see now? Right? Now, so John is trying to paint a picture that, you know, sometimes wicked deeds come from what? The wicked one. Then we need to ask a question. Yeah? How is it that the wicked one can just get access into a child of God? This thing here. You know what I'm saying? Evil deeds. Right? Now, that's why we have been saying we need to spiritually cultivate ourselves, yeah, so that we can rid off, eliminate, yeah, all the wicked deeds in our life, or bad behavior or whatever, right? Wicked works, so that we leave no room for this guy to work in us, right? Now, again, I said, you know, when the wicked one start working a person, he might not, you know, do so in a manner like he would do to a person who is fully demon-possessed. You get what I'm saying? It's like, you know, if a person is demon-possessed, like when the demon comes, then he would what? He would be thrown into the ground and he would start convulsing, that kind of thing. No. You find that this wicked one now is very smart. Okay? You find that he normally doesn't do this anymore. Okay? What he would do is to control the mind. And this guy here is controlled by, I mean, Cain is controlled by this one. And therefore, he committed murder against his own brother. Right? Now, I want you to read 2 Timothy again at the verse we have just read. We come back to 2 Timothy. Turn back to 2 Timothy. All right, 2 Timothy. Well, we look at chapter 2. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, we look at verse 26 now here. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Can you see now? All right. Now, in Genesis, it seems that Cain was a very normal person. You know, at one stage, he was even walking together with his brother. Is that not true? Yeah, they were walking in the field. And then what happened? Suddenly he rose up and he killed the brother. That is because of the wicked one. Is that clear now? Right? That's why we always say, don't leave room for Satan to work. Okay? Remove our pride, remove our jealousy, remove our anger, remove what? Malice, whatever you name it. Okay? So that what? We can grow spiritually. Right? Now, I want you to read, we read 1 Peter. First Peter, we look at chapter 2. Verse 1. Okay, now 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. Right? Now, very clearly we are told that all this must be removed. Okay, so that we can start afresh, or we start anew in Christ Jesus. That's why Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Meaning, he's saying, if we do not rid off, if we do not eliminate all these wicked deeds, not only we cannot grow, we are in danger of being made use of by Satan. We might even become an instrument of Satan, yeah, to achieve not the will of God, sadly, but the will of the wicked one. Right? So sometimes you see confusion in the church, yeah? It's very hard to tell who is right and who is wrong. But you know, if if you look at what the Bible teaches, you find that on many occasions the confusion is stemmed from the wicked one. Right? Very possibly because among us we have given ground to the wicked one to work. That is the problem. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So, we thank God you are here. So that's why in our prayer, we ask the Lord to remove our pride, you know, our malice within, our wicked deeds, and evil speaking, whatever, and has to be removed. Otherwise, we give ground to this guy to work. You know, all these wicked deeds are like cracks, you know, in our spiritual temple. Okay, so we need to. How can we seal them up? How can we seal them up? By removing them one by one. Is that okay? All right. Now we turn back to 1 John. All right, 1 John. We look at chapter 3 again. Yeah. Now, we look at verse 13. Now, Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Now, obviously, the world here, we cannot take it to mean the world in general. Okay? Now, the world refers to those who have gone into the world. Okay? Those who belong to the world. Okay? That's why they hate you. Now, obviously, whatever the world does is contrary to our belief. In that sense, it's like a kind of what? Hatred. Okay? But if we narrow it down, contextually speaking, right, those who have left God, right, those who have given themselves to unrighteousness, they are of the world. Okay, so do not be surprised when you are hated by the world. If the world hates you, because what you are doing is right before God. Right? Now, so therefore, we must always what? Abide in the love of God. Yeah, abide in the love of God. Now, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Okay? Now, you see the danger is this, okay? The danger is this. You know, when we first came to believe in Jesus, right? The Bible says, according to 1 John, we have passed out from death into what? Life. Now, you find that here, if we do not love, yeah, instead we hate, that is like what? We return to the position where we was before, where we were before. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? Right? You find that this hatred can cause a person to fall away from the grace of God. Right? Now, again, if you look at Cain, yeah? And he was very angry with his brother. Had his brother done anything wrong against him? According to Genesis, did Abel sin against Cain? Not at all, right? Now you find that for no reason, and this guy just rose up and killed Abel. Can you see? You find that the hatred is developed for no apparent reasons. That is the work of what? Of the wicked one. Okay, now you find that if deep inside you, there is a sense of hatred, there's a sense of anger and frustration for no apparent reason, it means that you have given ground to the wicked one to work. Because a child of God cannot behave in such a way. No way. You understand what I'm saying? Alright? So you can see how subtle the wicked one can be. Sometimes a person is controlled by the wicked one and yet he is still unaware of it. This is the most dangerous position to be in, to be honest about it. Alright? Now, so in our prayer, okay, if you have this anger, frustration or whatever, you need to pray to God, God help me. Yeah, get rid of this. Right, so that your mind is refreshed by the power of God. Is that clear? Okay, now we come back. 1 John. Now look at verse 15. Verse 15, yeah? Now whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Now, Jesus Christ came into this world to give us what? Eh? To give us what? Eternal life. Now, he has given us the opportunity, the chance to obtain eternal life. And in fact, right now, we are what? We are having this eternal life. again, if we are not careful, or if we develop this hatred in us, then we can end up what? Losing this eternal life. Losing. I tell you, you know, in the future, yeah, if we are not saved, it is not because we have broken the commandments of God, the Ten Commandments of God, literally. It's not that. I think, you know, many people will not be saved simply on account of them being harboring hatred against others. Sometimes we can even ask ourselves, yeah, do we hate anyone? Do we hate anyone? Right? Now, if we have the love of Jesus, right? If we have the love of Jesus, then you'll find that we can overcome. We can overcome. We can forget about the past, we move on. Life goes on. Right? Now, we need to understand, sometime by being angry, by being what? By being frustrated, whatever, we cannot change the situation. We cannot change the situation. Right? Now, the only way to mend the situation is by changing ourselves first. So when the heart is right with God, you find that, you know, nothing can actually can harm you. Nothing can actually affect you. Okay? This is the faith that we need to have in Jesus. Is that clear? All right. Now we move on from verse 16. Verse 16, and we look at verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our life for the brethren. Okay, now here it talks about the sacrificial love of Jesus. Now, how did he love us? By laying down his life. So today, if you say, okay, forget about laying down your life for others, for your enemies, okay? Talk about laying down your life for your own brothers and sisters. Talking about laying down your life for your parents, right? Showing a bit more love and concern for your sibling, for your family members, for the elderly in the church, right? Now, I think if we can do that, it means that we are showing some kind of improvement in our spirituality. Okay? Now, you can see how high the standard is, okay? It's what? Jesus died for us. This is the standard. Dying on the cross. Dying on the cross. Okay? Now, for us to love others means that we must reach this level. We know that, you know, I think to most people this is unattainable. It's so difficult to reach. Is it not true? I can't do that, to be honest. At least not for now. Right? Now, that's why to reach this level, we need to start improving ourselves. Like, by what? By showing more love to our sibling, by showing more love to our family, by showing more love to the elderly in the church, you know, by caring for the poor outside, in school or whatever. Now, there's an example given by John here. I want you to read chapter 3, verse 17. Okay, now look at the example given here. It's a very simple example. Now, but whoever has this world's good and see his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? You know, John is a very practical person, right? He does not talk about things that is so far-fetched. Okay, something that, you know, the members in general could not reach. No, he's not talking. He's a very practical person. That's why he said, okay, now, if you see someone who is very poor in the church, there's nothing to eat, okay, and you say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, see you tomorrow, you chop yourself. You get what I'm saying? Then, how can you reach this level? can never reach that level. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, okay, to put it in this way, if you see that someone in the church is drifting away, okay, you know it, you know it. But I say, forget it, this guy is not very good, you know. You know, he always caused a lot of trouble in the church, especially, you know, among us or whatever. Then you are not showing love. He's a very practical person. Is that clear? Right? Well, let's say a silent prayer. Amen.